16. Okay, get out of there.
Toward the last few verses of this letter, okay, on Thursday nights, we've been going verse by verse through 1 Corinthians. And so the last 13 verses, or the last, starting at verse 13, the last few verses here, he says, this is kind of like a summary or the last few statements that he's going to give to these people. He says, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. You don't hear that word anymore. Quit you like men. You don't hear men anymore either, let alone that. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all things be done with charity. And then he mentions these people here. He says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's a word you hear nowadays, addicted. That's a good addiction. And then he says, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us laboreth. And then he said, I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge them that are such. Okay, I just want to look at verse 13 and 14. It's just each one-liners. These ideas would be shocking in most churches, so I can get away with it here, you know, and rinse the litter. In most churches, I'd have to tell them, hey, I was raised on a farm. I don't know anything different. So if you hear some farm attitudes, don't worry about it. This is reality. I was preaching a church in Toledo, Ohio, and I mentioned at the beginning of the message I bought a motorcycle for my brother. He had a Honda Kawasaki 900, and I gave him $500 and six hogs. And they the whole church just laughed and laughed about it, and I thought, what's so funny? Six hogs, come on. I mean, you barter with hogs, you know. Can't get them in your pocket, but still. It worked. I got a bike out of it, so. But 1 Corinthians 16, and so let's go ahead and pray before we go any further. Lord, I do pray, ask that you'd help us to understand your words. I pray you'd help us to be faithful to you, to your words. Help us to understand this idea. Help us to understand the principles here, and help us to, like Paul said, be not conformed to this world. Boy, this world is messed up. And boy, are they confusing the young generation. I mean, they can't even figure out if they're a boy or girl nowadays. What a mess. And I do pray that you'd help us to see what the Bible says, help us to be faithful to it, and help the us older folks, parents, grandparents, grandparents especially, help us to help this young generation to deal with the crazy ideas that's being propose to them. I pray you'd help us to do what we can to be a blessing to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you look at verse 13, 14, if you've gone through the entire letter, I'm doing that on Wednesday, Thursday nights. This church had four questions that they were asking Paul, and they started in chapter 7 to start answering those four questions, 7, 8, 12, 16. Okay, this church was a carnal church, so it does seem to represent a general attitude of churches today. Okay, specifically, the charismatic movement is the worst offenders of this idea, but still, that's the general spirit. And sadly, as far as other churches, the spirit is being pushed all across the television. Okay, and so what's really strange about it is in verse 13, he makes a statement. He says, quit you like men. Is this a male-only church? Why would you tell a church, men and women, to quit you like men or act like men? Why would he do that? And so that's kind of the idea. I want to get to those four, and nothing alliterated. It's just four statements. And there are some things that each gender needs to not focus on, but be able to understand. And then there are some things that a boy will do that a girl should not do, and things girls should do that boys should not do. One is definitely washing dishes. That's not for guys. But changing diapers, that's another one. That's another one. I recognize my dad didn't know how to change a diaper because he had to do one. Took him an hour to do it. But there are some things that, in our culture, it's amazing what the young kids, especially if you're going to public school, what you're being told. If you're born a boy, you're a boy until the day you die. Okay? And if you're a girl, you're a girl to the day you die. And I don't care what they tell you, that's not going to change. Okay, male and female. Male and female. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I mean, if it was Adam and Steve, none of us would be here. It's just logical. Okay, and so there's five thoughts that he gave there. And he just gives one-liners. Now, when somebody gives you a one-liner, they don't have to explain it. That means you're getting it. So the first thing he says, watch ye. He's not talking about watching. Watch ye. In other words, be vigilant. Okay, when you turn on television, it would be good if you had a gun beside the TV so you can shoot it when you get mad at it. There's a kid in Chicago, he had a TV in his front, and he had an axe through it. And I said, what is that? He said, a conversation piece. If we're in listening anything, I don't care who it is, myself, I don't care who you listen to, be watchful. Okay, about 2 months ago, I preached on the idea of how not to be deceived, especially in the biblical realm. Okay, and in the Bible gives us the format or the ammunition that we need, the battleground, the battle line, how not to be deceived. If somebody takes the Bible and tries to show you some things, maybe a JW, maybe a moron or Mormon, and maybe anything else, you could just point it out to them, or a water dog or a Baptist. Okay, and there's two times in the Bible where Satan is in action. Okay, two times, once at the beginning of the Old Testament, once at the beginning of the New Testament. And the one at the beginning of the Old Testament, the devil and the leftists, or whoever you want to call them, are not original people. They do not think original. They do not have original thoughts. The New Age movement is as old as the hills. It goes clear back to Genesis 11. Okay, and in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan was tempting involving the first Adam, and in Matthew 4, Satan is tempting the last Adam, Jesus Christ. In Genesis 3, there are three very simple things that took place where Eve got deceived. Somebody added a word to what God said. Somebody subtracted a word to what God said. And then somebody changed or generalized the words of what God said. Now, Adam and Eve had a very simple Bible to memorize. It's only one sentence. You know, one sentence, very simple. But somebody added a word, subtracted a word, and changed words, and got deceived. So that program is still in effect today. And as soon as I see somebody add a word to the Bible, my antenna comes up. As soon as they subtract the word, my antenna comes up. As soon as they start generalizing it or changing the word, my antenna comes up. When they run the Greek and the Hebrew, my antenna goes higher. I said, I have got a problem. If you believe the Bible, one book, then don't be adding to it. Don't be subtracting from it. Don't be changing anything of it. And that's how false doctrines are maintained. It's very simple, nothing difficult about it. When they add a word, subtract a word, or words, change a word of words of the Bible, and you point it out to them when they do it. Okay, that's Genesis 3. Now, that is a good standing point from there till the end of time, you know, the end of the millennium, I suppose. Now, when you get to Matthew 4 or Luke 4, they're parallel passages. We have the devil in action again. You will see that he will add a word, subtract a word, change a word. He'll do one of those things, tried it with Jesus Christ. But then if you look at the temptations of what he tempted Christ, the temptations are not sinful. Turning a rock into bread, is that sinful? I don't remember reading, thou shalt not turn a rock into bread. He turned water to wine, so it's not sinful. He walked on water, it's not sinful. Why? What was he doing? He misquoted Psalm 91 in one of the temptations. He subtracted some words. He did add some words. He did change some words. So that's the program back in Genesis 3, but that didn't work with Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ taught or introduced the idea of rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, if you ever deal with a water dog, you ever deal with a water dog? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. You know, water, fellowship, water, joy divine, you know, all that stuff. We've heard, it's not Jesus saves, it's a water saves. Acts 2.38, Acts 22.18, Galatians 3.27. I could run to seven verses in every single time, and they will commit the sin of deception. And if you go to Genesis 3 and Luke 4 and learn from it, you could thwart them every single time. And you point it out to them. But they got water in the brain, so they're going to go right back to Acts 2.38 again and just splash around again. It's the same program, and then you just walk away from them. It's not hard. So that's why he says, watch ye, be vigilant. 1 Peter 5.8, be vigilant, be sober, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That is literal. Okay, where it's kind of jumping into the trib, I guess. But Patrick Henry said, suspicion is a virtue, not a vice. Animals in nature stay alive because they are suspicious. They hear a weed, they hear a noise, they see something move, they see a strange person. And they get away from what they are suspicious about, and that's how they survive. Okay, and all of us have to be watchful. Now, country folk, we kind of get relaxed. Maybe don't lock, I won't say we won't lock our doors or whatever. But when you go up to Gary, you better be suspicious. Or to the mall. Okay, and if somebody bumps into you, you check your wallet real quick. Or maybe your firearm is on the side, or whatever. Suspicion is a virtue, not a vice. Okay, you turn on the television. You better have your antenna of suspicion full board. Because the intent on all television, be it good, be it bad, is to program you and I. That's what it's called, program. They're not hiding. The devil hides truth in plain sight just like God does. That's why it's called the medium. That's the intent. And so, now, be watchful. Now, that is generally a man thing. Women get tired of us. You know, when Jan and I, we'd take trips, we'd be in an apostate church, and I'd be sitting, quiet. I mean, he's lying. And sometimes I spot out, whatever. One time we was in a Sunday school class of the church he grew up in, and a teacher asked, why did they crucify Jesus Christ? Well, he asked a question. So I thought I was supposed to answer it. I said, because they were ignorant. Huh? Well, did not Jesus say, Father, they know not what they do? That's ignorance. He said that also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but it kind of blew his clutch plate. I said, okay, I'm not going to answer any more questions. And then I always like how they do it in those churches where they have maybe, a few people and they got an hour to fill in space and everybody gets in their little, okay, you five get together, you discuss the passage, and then you five get together, you discuss the passage. And then a woman's always a spokesman. And then you five discuss the passage. And the guy ran out of things to say. He's just killing time. Is what he's doing. But men tend to be watchful. Ladies, you need to be watchful. You need to be watchful. Okay? And that's just a rule of life. And it is easier to deceive people than to convince them they have been deceived. I mean, come on. A cracker actually turning into the body of Jesus Christ? Are you serious? And then I'm going to eat Jesus Christ like a cat? Are you serious? A billion people believe that. And if you put it in the way I just did, I was in a man's house and he was diehard. And I said to him, are you serious that you actually think you're a cannibal? And when I put it that way, he dropped his head, reached for his little Catholic book, pulled it up. Yes. And man, and then I said, are you really serious that you believe that fermented hooch from the Christian Brothers Distillery, Hocus Pocus Dominocus, turns into blood, and you get to drink the blood like Dracula? Now, again, when you put it that way, it causes embarrassment. But he reached down. Yes. Now, that man was on his deathbed, and I thought maybe he would reconsider. He did not. On his deathbed, he looked at me like, you're an idiot not to believe this. And you see, it is easier to deceive somebody than to convince them they have been deceived. I mean, that's just reality of life. Okay, second thought is he made is stand fast in the faith. Take a stand. Believe something. I don't care if you believe what you believe is wrong. At least believe something. You know what an agnostic is? That's an intelligent way of saying an ignoramus. I said that to a lady in Monon several years ago, and you know, I was trying to witness to her, and she said, I'm an agnostic. I said, well, isn't that an ignoramus? She didn't like my definition. Well, what is an agnostic? Agnostic, gnostic, knowing, ag, you don't, A before the gnostic, you don't know anything, so if you don't know anything, that means you're an ignoramus. Just use their words. She didn't appreciate my definition. But that's all that is. It's somebody with a college degree that says, I mean, you go through 4 years of college, spend all this money, and you come out of college, and what do they say? We have learned that you can't know anything for certain. I could have told you that for half the money. But the thing is stand fast in the faith. We have nothing to be ashamed of. I believe this book, and I'm not ashamed of that book. Amen. Now, if they want to tote their book, I'm going to look at them and say, okay, that's fine. I mean, I had a guy down at PU, Purdue University, where he laughed at me. He said, oh, suppose you think the world's going to end. I said, oh, no, not at least for 1,000 years. Don't worry about it. Go live the way you want to do, because that's what you're going to do anyway, pal. Oh, yeah. You see, if they're going to make fun of what I believe, I'm going to make fun of what they believe. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm standing there holding a Bible verse sign, and a guy with half the tackle box is on his face, and he looks at me like I'm weird. You know, I saw this one guy in Rensselaer that had his hair up like this, and I thought he must have wanted to be a unicorn when he was a kid. And then if you look at him, they say, what you looking at? Well, the answer is you, of course. Isn't that what you want? Of course that's what they want. Stand fast in the faith. The Lord wants us to stand fast in the truth of God. You know how one way you know that the Bible's true, that biblical Christianity is true, is by the opposition. You don't even have to read this book. Okay, let's see that public schools forbid Hinduism being taught in the public schools and Muslims. And the Dalai Lama, and Catholicism. Oh, no, oh, no. That's free game. Go to the United Nations and speak, say, Buddha, 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 Buddha. Confucius says. But as soon as you say Jesus Christ, you're going to see the circuit breakers go, boom, unless you're cussing. Why? There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's one way you don't have to study anything else. You know that's true. Okay, another way you can prove to somebody the Bible is true is Jerusalem. Why is it that Jerusalem is in a place of infatuation for Satanists, the Kabbalah, the Catholics, the Muslims are all infatuated with Jerusalem? Why is that? There's power in there. That proves the Bible's true. And we can stand on those things. Stand fast in the faith. Okay, and the next one. Now, the next one's a little strange, I think. Quit you like men. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, you'll see how the word is used by the Philistines. When they're getting ready to go into battle, and they're getting ready to fight the Jews, and the Philistines said, quit you like men. In other words, act like men. Okay, if you say that in Joyce Meyer's church, act you like men. I mean, that's how it's going to go. Okay, quit you like men is an old English term for act like men. Now, this is something that we need to recognize, that this amazing that in the public schools and in the media and all over, people don't know what they are. I don't know what I am. Look in your license. Look in the mirror. You know, it's not hard. I was watching this one little video that he was a she and she was a he. Can you imagine doing the wedding for that? Would you, whatever you're trying to be, take you, whatever you're trying to be whatever you're trying to be? Why, what a thing. Well, he was a she, so the husband was born a she, and she was a he. Or he was a she. Yeah, you're all confused, and I'm confused. They wanted children, but they hadn't done the cosmetic stuff yet, so she got with he, and he had a baby. Two babies. Now, aren't those kids going to be confused growing up? I mean, yeah, only in America. Thailand's worse, probably. Okay, but yeah, that's okay. Kids nowadays, they don't know what they are. And the sad thing is, the churches are going along with this. The charismatic movement is an effeminate movement. I mean, that's true, that's reality. Okay, and the feminist movement. A lot of feminists would be surprised with this, that many of the feminists of the feminist movement are hee-hee, meaning born male and turned female. And they're running a feminist movement. Okay, so as parents, our children are growing up. Mom, let your boys be boys. Play in the dirt. Find a cow pie and flip it like a frisbee. I would suggest them dry. Okay, boys need to be boys. Girls need to be girls. Now, there are some things that both sides need to know. Okay, for example, in the Bible, you have God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, angels, pastors and deacons are all men in the Bible, male chauvinistic. King James. It's not Queen James. Queen Jamie. You know, whatever. It's King James. Okay? But yet, in Isaiah 66, verse 13, it says that God comforts like a mother. Who's the comforter? Mom is. I mean, when a kid hurts himself, he's not going to go to dad because dad's going to say, I told you this was going to happen. He's going to go to her. Why? Because she comforts. Now, we men, we need to learn some things about comforting. I mean, it's hard to do, but we got to learn how to do that. And I'll tell you how you learn how to do it is when the Lord beats you in the face a few times and puts you through a few trials, and you begin to learn to empathize. And that's a hard way to learn it. Okay? But there are some things that both genders need to know. Girls, you need to know some basic things on your car. Check the oil. Okay, if the idiot light comes on, turn it off. Okay, you need to know how to change a tire. You need to, girls, you need to know some basic self-defense. You need to knee the guy where he needs to be kneed. You need to gouge his eyes out if he's bothered. That's why we have the self-defense class. You need those things. Why? Because your husband may not be around sometime. And you'd hate to have some terrible things happen, but yet you can cause the damage if you learn some basic skills. Learn how to shoot. Those are some things you need to do. Both sides need to learn how to gut an animal. Oh, that would be so fun. I got some looks on that one. Yeah, a chicken. Did you know lefty, loosey, righty, tighty? You know, two turns and then they jump all over the place. You need to witness that. And then take a bucket with 140 degrees water and then start plucking it. And then take a knife and cut here and then reach in there and just, people in foreign cultures know this, do they not? I mean, they'll put it right, they'll have the chicken right there. And you talk about fresh. You see, Americans need to do that. What are you going to do if the grocery store goes down? You need to know those things. You need to know some, oh man, if you want to see some of the skin of muskrat, ask my brother to do one for you. 2 minutes or less. I mean, you turn the thing right back side out and put your hand in it, it looks like a real muskrat still. Amazing. Okay, you need to do that. Boys, especially, you know, you need to get down and get dirty with animals. I mean, meaning you need to get in the dirt, you need to play with the animals, you need to box. I had a shepherd that I used to box. I loved boxing that dog. He would, boy, could he. I only got him good one time and I got a yipe out of him. But boys need to do that. Okay? The schools are not going to encourage this. The schools will tell you to treat human beings worse than animals. They'll kill them babies coming out of the womb before they come out of the womb. But if you kill that animal, oh, man, anti-cruelty society. You see? And that's where it's heading in this country. Okay? Boys need to be, let them be boys. Mama, let them be a boy. He has this thing that God put in her called testosterone. There's going to be a time where she's going to say, I don't want to be mama's boy anymore. I'm my own man. And you're going to say, what happened to that kid? I tell you what happened. God happened. You see? Boys will play. You ever see a little boy with a ball? Oh, they just go crazy for a ball, don't they? You can put a ball. I got this thing down here. Jan got this thing in a garage sale on Thursday. I said, Abe, you got to come look at this. And Matt, he had a ball. He would want to buy that from us before we brought it here. But you see, a little boy with a ball, and then men with sports, ladies, you get tired of their anger, don't you? They get frustrated, they get mad, they throw up a hissy fit. Why? It's that testosterone. They need to overcome that. It takes more character to control your flesh in sports. You think you can control your flesh? Try playing sports. Okay, and that takes character. It takes discipline. Okay, Alexander the Great was known as a great man conquering the world. He couldn't conquer a bottle. He's a drunk. Chronic drunk. Died when he was 33. Now, I don't think that's real great. He couldn't conquer himself. Boys need to do some boys' things. Girls need to do some girls' things. And then there are some things both parties need to do. Okay, ladies, you need to be vigilant. Ladies, you can stand fast in the faith, okay? And there are times where you can, you need to, like some ladies, need to know to do some things. What if he takes off and you're all by yourself? You don't know that in these days. Well, they grew up in church. Yeah, I don't understand that. Yeah. Homeschool kids grew up church down in Mississippi, Louisiana. Two kids grew up in homeschool. Same church, get married, happily ever after. In 12 months, he took a gun, shot her in the back of the head, and went to work for 8 hours. Homeschooled kids raised in a, quote, Bible-believing church, didn't even take 12 months. You don't know what's going on in this world, the way things are going. You don't know how people are. And the thing is he says, quit you like men. There's times we've got to act like men. And if the world don't like us acting like men, tough apples. A lot of women try to get him to become passive, get under her thumb, and then when he does that, she don't like what she has. And that's a fact. Okay, and so the Bible lays it out pretty clear for us here. Paul lays it out pretty clear. Paul said here, even if you back up a few chapters, chapter 6, verse 9, he said, the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, I like that verse. I was preaching down at Danville Correctional Facility, and it had about 60 men. And what they would do in that service, they'd sing 7 songs without a piano. And you could just yell at the top of your lungs. I mean, it was pathetic the whole time. But they made a joyful noise. And when I started teaching in there, a few of them started enjoying what was going on, so they started cutting the songs back. But there's one time I'm preaching away, and I'd hear this, amen. So that didn't sound right. And so I said something else, and I heard, amen. I'm trying to scout out, who's saying this? I said, dude, I don't like that. So I just kind of said, you know, a lot of people amen things in the Bible they like, things they agree with. I said, how about where it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't hear an amen after that. I saw about 10 guys go like this. I just kind of wanted to clip somebody's feathers. You know, why? Because that's what Paul said. That's what Paul said. Now, I know men can be rude and crude. I understand that. And a man needs to learn some gentleness. Jesus Christ was described by the Apostle Paul to be gentle. When Jesus Christ faced the crucifixion, who stayed with him? It was the ladies. It was the ladies that stayed with him. All the way to the end. Where did guys go? They took off. And that tells me there's a side of Jesus Christ that people didn't know. Jesus Christ was a man's man, but yet he had some qualities that ladies say he's different. And so he tells us here, watch you like men. Then he says, be strong. He said in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he said, be strong in the grace of the Lord. He said that to Timothy. He told Joshua several occasions, be strong. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. The world is trying to take your confidence away. And you need to maintain your confidence. Be strong. Know what you believe and why you believe. And don't be ashamed of it. Okay, well, what if I believe I find out I'm wrong? Okay, then be honest. Nothing wrong with that. Being honest. Okay, but not cocky. I'm not saying be cocky. I'm just saying be strong. Put your shoulders back. And I believe this, and if you don't like it, tough apples. I'm not going to cow. I get so sick and tired of these politicians saying something, and then the media jumps all over it, and then they got to backpedal. And their apology is a joke. Don't apologize for that. Waleed Shoebot was up in Michigan. He's a former Muslim. He'd gotten saved. And so he'll go to these places. And we were at one of these places. And somebody said, you offended me. And I love his response. You have a right to be offended. And I have a right not to care. That's exactly right. And I don't care. When Jesus was sitting down in Matthew 15, the apostles said, One of the Pharisees said something, oh, your disciples didn't wash their hands, you know, blah, 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 blah. You should have seen us raising a farm, washing our hands before eating, you know, driving in a, riding in a tractor in a dust, you know, your hands dirt. I mean, that's just protein added to the thing. I mean, that's just helping your immune system. You know, and Jesus basically said, you didn't wash your heart. They had to ask for a Tums right after that. And then the apostle said, you know, you offended him? He said, let him alone. The blind lead the blind, both fall in a ditch. That was Jesus Christ's response. Now, that was to the religious elite. That's not the common people. I don't think you should purposely try to offend people. Okay, but if it's a religious leader, that's fair game. I mean, they should know better. Look how he talked to Nicodemus. He said, you don't know these things? I love the one question Jesus asked a lot of times. Haven't you read? His two favorite comments. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And the other one to the Pharisees. Haven't you read? Did you read this? Did you read that? Did you read this? Why? He's telling them to go right back to that. And the thing is be confident. Be strong. Know what you believe, why you believe. Don't apologize for it. Now, if somebody points it out that you got a flaw in your belief, then be strong in character to be able to admit it. It takes a stronger man to say, I was wrong. I don't know. There's no shame in that. If somebody asks a Bible question, I don't know. There's no shame in that. None whatsoever. And sometimes people ask these tough questions, they don't got the answer either. Is God strong enough to make a rock he cannot pick up? I don't know. He might smash it on your head. That's what he probably needs to do. But your head's probably so hard, it'd probably break the rock. I mean, people got all these questions. You know, all these questions. A black and white cow eats yellow corn and green grass, produces white milk. Explain it. Explain to me cell phones. Explain how an airplane with all that tonnage can... That's amazing. I'm amazed with airplanes. There's so many things they cannot explain. Explain how a sexless amoeba began producing other amoebas. Explain that one to me. They can't explain it. If they were as critical of their science textbook, they'd walk out of the science class. Why? It's not scientific. Not whatsoever. Show me one missing link. No, you can't go to the NBA. I'm not going to let you go to the NBA. One missing link in a fossil record that shows a monkey to a man, a fish to a bird. Show me one of those. Explain to me the fossil record where you have giants, men 15 and 20 feet tall, and explain that to me without the flood. Of course. These people are not students. They don't study things. They have an agenda. And their agenda is to neuter the church. That's their agenda. They want us to shut up. No, we're not going to shut up. There's nobody like Jesus Christ. You're never going to find anybody like him. There's no religious founder that is willing to give of themselves like Jesus Christ. Buddha did not die for the Buddhist. Muhammad did not die for one Mohammedan. Not one. Jesus, all world religions claim in some form of goodness, and the Bible is the same, some form of goodness, but the difference is all religions say you have to do the goodness, where the Bible says Jesus Christ did the goodness, and you just got to believe him to get it. That's different. You see, what I look at a lot of times, people are looking at the similarities. I look at the differences of things, and that's what keeps us sane. What keeps us unique. Every one of us are unique. Isn't that a blessing? God broke the mold when they made you. That's a blessing. Your fingerprints are not the same. You're unique. You don't want equality. Please do not desire equality. Ladies, do not desire equality. You have the greatest blessing of giving birth to a child. Men can't do that. Men try to compete with that idea. Men will become the best artist, the best composers, the best chefs, the best seamstress. Why? Because a man is trying to compete, ladies, with the greatest blessing in the world, and you can give life. That's a blessing. Don't lower yourself to men. Men are rude, crude, and gross. Ask Donnie Jeffers. See, if you want equality, go to China. They're all equally poor. Yeah. It's bad. So he says, stand fast, be strong, and last thing, let all things be done with charity. Okay, charity, love is an emotion. Charity is an action that is a result of that emotion, but yet a person can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. For God so loved the world, he gave. Charity is elevating, like a lot of things in the Bible, where in the Old Testament you'll have sin in this level, which mostly actions, but on occasion motives. But in the New Testament, sin is elevated up to every situation that a person is involved in. In the Old Testament, thou shalt not commit adultery. In the New Testament, lust. The more truth is given by God, the more accountability is given towards us. Too much is given, much is required. Love is one thing, but charity is love within a Christian setting. Totally unique. And you see, that's why we've got to be so precise with the words of God, where Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So charity is different than love. When somebody changes those words, they are berating charity. Okay, now 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's interesting that's laid in this chapter, defines charity. And all you have to do is check yourself. So if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, the entire chapter, you've got 13 verses, but the actual definition of it is in verse 4 to 8, the actual definition. And when you read this definition, ask yourself, do I display that? And if you're going to be honest, you'll probably have to say, I don't get an A. Charity suffereth long. And is kind. Why did he have to throw that in there? We all can suffer and be grouchy while we're suffering. That is not a problem. But when he throws in and is kind, that writer is reading into our nature. You read things like that in the Bible, and the one who wrote that is more than man. He created man, and he's reading into that heart. He says, charity envieth not. Oh, he did have to say that, didn't he? Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. I'm sure many of us would know, husbands and wives, that know what button to push to get a reaction. What if you surprise them when they push that button and you don't give the reaction? Wait. They have to push it 5 or 6 more times and don't give the reaction. You know what? Eventually they'll stop pushing the button. Give the opposite reaction. You know why praying phone calls were so fun? Remember doing prank phone? Who's ever done a prank phone call? Okay. Why were they so fun? The reaction. What if you give them the opposite reaction? Remember that one we got late at night, Jen? We were just sitting there in our bedroom talking, the light was on, you know, and somebody called, midnight. She said, what are you doing? I said, playing football. Oh, what are you doing? I said, I just told you I'm playing football. It's midnight. What do you think? And got talking to this girl, got talking to her, and it was a girl that I'd led to Christ about 2 years prior. Don't tell my parents I did it. I said, don't worry about it. We're having a good time. You know, I went on for about 15 minutes. Then there's another gal called, and Jan answered, and I don't know what she said, and Jan started witnessing to her. And then a girl said, well, I'd like to do that. And Jan said, I'm not kidding with you. No, I'm not either. And she made a profession of faith on a praying phone call. Why do you do the opposite? Young people like to see reaction. When you're on a street corner and they're going to do something vulgar, they'll react. Why? Because that's what they want. And if you don't react, you know what in their heart happens? This person's got something I want. Yeah. They'll want something that you have because you didn't react the way that you normally should have reacted. So he says, it's not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. Young people need to see our charity. That's what they need to see. I mean, the kids nowadays, they are putting stuff in front of them that I didn't even know existed when I was 20. And they're being taught these things at 4. And they're going to have some crazy things they're going to do, and we need to not react. We need to display charity towards them and help them. You see? And the only way we're going to do that is, as adults, we maintain some of our childlike characteristics. What's one childlike characteristic? 1 Corinthians 14:20. In malice be children. Adults, boy, can they hold a grudge, can't they? Oh man, they are hold a grudge. They can hold it for years. But children, in malice be children. 5 minutes is done. That's why it should be done. You see, and when you hold that anger and that grudge for more than 12 hours, Ephesians 4 says, be angry and sin not, neither give place unto wrath. And then it says, neither give place to the devil. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. The implication of that verse is when you hold a grudge and have malice for more than 12 hours, you've invited spirits and you've given them advantage, and then you're going to keep harboring that thing. In children be malice, in understanding be men. So if we're going to influence the young generation, we got to keep some of our youthful attitudes, sincerity, honesty, humility. In malice be children. And if we lose all that, then we don't have any influence. So he says, let all things be done with charity. Okay, so there's 5 statements there given to us. Much more can be done, said, and let's go and pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us to understand your words. I pray that you'd help us, the older generation, the parents, grandparents especially, help us grandparents to not be a hindrance to our adult children and raising their children. Help us to be a help to them. Help us to befriend our grandchildren and help the boys to be boys and the girls to be girls. And help us to recognize that they're being told so many ignorant things, illogical things, satanic things, that they might react strangely at times, and that we should have charity toward them and help them through it. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Okay, I'm not going to have an invitation with that.